This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's hour number two. General at your service, Eddies. There's Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Eric Chiafalo, and Carter Freeman. Along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Know you're fired up for the game tonight. At 6 o'clock, we're going to have a little pep talk competition. The three of us, I think we're kind of inspired by Coach Ballsack, you know, Mike Bassick's bit. And we're going to do our best maybe to cut some wrestling promos about how the Mavs are going to whoop that ass tonight in the Bay Area. How's that sound to you? Is that good?
Oh, that's good.
8 o'clock tip on TNT.
Get ready for some bleeps from Broaddus. I was in there doing some editing on Broaddus's speech.
I didn't know how that ever worked. Yeah. I learned just a little bit ago how that works, because – you know, I was not going to curse, and then all of a sudden, no, you got to curse, and it kind of, and you
let
can bleep it out. Yeah.
And
so it does sound pretty harsh. So,
Lucius, remember when Mikey B used to go into that editing room, and you could hear him all the way through the soundproof walls echoing around 11?
Yeah, it's like living in a cheap apartment. You can hear your neighbors getting at it.
Yes.
All right.
That's exactly what that was like.
My life, and has been for the last 4 years.
He's going to punch the drywall pretty soon.
Yeah.
He means business.
Man, his face would get all red, and it was like a possessed demon.
Yeah.
Screaming about the Mavericks. That's what that's like.
But hey, you know who got the name Ballsack? Or you know where he got it?
Toronto.
The fans called him Ballsack, bro.
Yeah.
Because his name is Bassick. Hey, Ballsack! Yeah. That is hysterical to me!
Yeah.
I never knew that!
That is hysterical, bro!
Yep. Those Toronto fans can be ruthless.
That is so good!
That's from his playing days?
Yes,
yeah.
Bro!
Yeah, he was warming up in the bullpen. Yeah. He's warming up in the... You know, right there in the, I think it's in left field overlooking the bullpen in Toronto. They started chanting, ball sack, ball sack, ball sack.
It's amazing. Oh, jeez.
All righty.
I thought he just made that up.
No, he did not make that up at all.
It stuck with him, bro.
No, but he owned it. He owned it. Just like Chiafalo and his yummy delights.
Oh, that was great, too.
For our entertainment. 571, is Gavin finally a believer? Yeah, I'm believing. TruckWreck.com fan text is open. I'm going to ask you a question, though. Are you ready to eat some crow, Mavs fans, MFFLs? You've heard me eating crow, so I want to turn the tables here and ask if anybody wants to in regards to something very specific with this Mavericks team. You know, and sometimes I eat crow when I'm wrong, and, you know, I want to let you know it can be liberating and it can be freeing to, you know, be held accountable when your dead ball's on wrong about something. And this might be a little petty. But I think Lucius could probably, you know, vouch for the fact that that's on brand for me. You know, I can be petty. I can go petty on you. Would you like to eat some crow regarding Kristaps Porzingis? You know, when he was traded to the Wizard, it was the greatest thing to happen to the Mavs this season. Finding a team willing to take him and give you anything of value in return out of everything that's happened. They all, you know, Luka taking the next step, Jason Kidd being here, the defense adjusting. I think the trade of Porzingis is an equal part of that. They each get 25% responsibility for why the Mavs are here. Even if you think KP is somehow good at basketball, right? That's not the topic here. The chemistry was so bad. The Mavs were brilliant to trade him. That's your crow eating topic at 877-881-1053. You love it. You eat it up when I have to eat crow for guaranteeing a loss without Luka in game two against the Utah Jazz. Now it's time for me to ask you, and if you don't think you have to, we go to the ringer.com. Headline: The Mavericks finally built the right machine for Luka to drive. They write, The turning point in Dallas redesign came February 10th, 22, when the Mavs traded former Doncic co-star Kristaps Porzingis to the Wizards. To that point in the season, the Mavs had been outscored when Porzingis and Doncic shared the floor. When Doncic played without Porzingis, the Mavs had a dominant net rating of 13.1. They were 13.1 points per 100 possessions better than their opposition when Doncic played without Porzingis. When Porzingis played without Doncic, the number fell to a miserable minus 13.2. The pair was not working. After the trade, the Mavs jumped from 24th in three-point shooting to 9th. Before February 10th, Porzingis ranked 7th in the league in post-up frequency. And while such actions yielded a passable 0.961 points per chance, they took the ball out of Doncic's hands, and Porzingis' presence on the court in that no-man's land of the high post muddled the floor balance required to optimize Doncic. From February 10th onward, Luka thrived. He ended up leading the NBA in both frequency and efficiency for isolations. Ooh. It goes on and on. And you can read the whole article on theringer.com. The Mavs finally built the right machine for Luka Doncic to drive. But I, you know, looking back on all the great things that have happened, I think Kristaps Porzingis being dealt is just as important as any of the other guys. What do you say?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you just laid it out pretty clearly there. The difference in the team numbers, the overall numbers, and then also just the Luka numbers themselves. And you had a window into it because you played without Porzingis so often. You could get a good feel for, okay, when he does play, this is how we perform. When he doesn't play, this is how we perform. And it was very obvious even before the trade, okay, we're better when he's not on the floor. We're just better, and that's before you've added a Dinwiddie and a Bertans. This is just no Porzingis. This Mavs team is better, and then you factor in being able to get a Dinwiddie and what he was able to add, according to Cleaning the Glass. Dallas marks the first stop in his career in which he has played big minutes as a wing, and though his assist rate was below his career average, it was in the 98th percentile for his new position. So he had never shot so efficiently, and he hadn't turned it over so infrequently since he played 9 games back in the 15-16 season. So, I mean, and Dinwiddie commands fewer touches than Porzingis did, and so he's been excellent as just sort of a connecting piece between Doncic and then all the other shooters. Mm. So, I mean, yeah, the trade, there is, I would put it as 0% chance we're talking about Mavs Game 1 Western Conference Finals right now had that trade not gone down.
Wow, that's strong.
Yeah, I never would have believed that this would have happened. You know, because we were talking about it, you know, when Gavin, you and I were doing the show, you said, you know, you've got to make this happen. Somehow, some way, this front office has got to make this trade. We kind of, you know, they always talk about the relationships between Luka and Porzingis, and everybody's like, no, it's not bad. It's not this, not that. You know, he's come on our station, even talked about it. I still believe there was something there. But the thing that was the most impressive, not so much trading him, but like I said, I never thought it was going to get done. I never, ever believed. I never believed that Mark Cuban was going to let go of this.
I didn't think he had any as good a value as he ended up having.
Yeah.
We asked Sean McDonough about that last year when he joined us and said the value zero. Nobody would take the guy right now.
Contract and stuff like that, yeah. So, yeah, to me, you know, maybe you got Dinwiddie a little banged up, you know, team kind of desperate to move on from him. You had a team here down the road that was interested in moving on from Porzingis. That makes the best deal sometimes.
Okay, 407, I'll eat some crow. I thought he would be the new Jordan with Pippen. They were more like two wrestlers who were forced to team up where one was the face and the other was the heel. Okay, we still need a two and a legit big, no doubt about that. Yeah, and that's the exciting thing, is they're already this good without a great roster construction and not much balance. 817, crow's best with ketchup. I was dead balls wrong on that trade. Thank you. Out of the 817.
More of a mustard guy myself.
How about this 469 guy? No crow for me. My name on Twitter was literally Bleep Porzingis. Yeah, he was right there with me. I know some of you were. I was super stoked when we traded for Porzingis. I was just as stoked when we traded him away. Mm-hmm. At 877-881-1053. That is the truckwreck.com fan text. A lot of people saying no crow for me. I was thrilled. Glad he's gone.
Well, he wore us down, man. Like, for, you knew the potential that Porzingis was going to be able to have if him and Luka could coexist and actually play a considerable amount of games together. You knew what the talent was, and we all felt like even when the trade went down, and by then we were ready to move on for Porzingis for basically anything in return, I think we all felt in that moment, hey, this is probably something that is going to lower this year's ceiling with an opportunity to really, in the coming off seasons, give you more flexibility. So the big surprise to me, even as somebody who was fired up when Porzingis was finally out of here, is that we are here right now, because it felt like, okay, not that you're punting on this season, but you're willing to say, okay, we're probably not going to have as much this season success as we would have hoped in order to maybe get more success over the next year or two. And it turns out it was just ended up being the best of both worlds. You get to get rid of Porzingis, and we find ourselves one round away from the NBA Finals. Like, it's just like, that is the big surprise to me.
I didn't know it would open it up that much.
I felt like, though, that we were happy with bubble Porzingis, though, weren't we?
He had some good runs.
See, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden the knee went, and then we're like, the injuries. And I think you saw the talent. I think you just, the how frequently he got hurt. That's the thing I think that turned everybody completely against
him. 100%. And then when you get the idea that him and Luka don't get along, you're like, yeah, whoa, Luka's happiness needs to be priority number one for this entire organization. So if Porzingis is not involved in Luka happiness, that's a huge problem. And then, yes, Broadus, every single night getting the report of, well, Porzingis is out. Yeah. Porzingis is out. Porzingis is out. And they were usually weak. 2-3 weeks at a time.
Yeah. Mm. Well, if you demand that I eat crow and you're not front and center eating crow right now, I don't want to hear from you the next time I'm wrong. Okay, I'm a little bit disappointed here in some of these truckwreck.com fan texts. That's some fair weather crow judges, if you ask me. 214, I'll eat crow as long as it tastes like a yummy delight. Yeah, we'll get some of those served up for you.
Yeah. I do like the texture in the 469 who keeps calling out. He's just inundating us with Tim McMahon of ESPN needs to be eating crow. I don't remember Tim McMahon being completely against this Porzingis trade. Oh. I don't remember the takes. But apparently they stuck in the craw of at least one texter in the 469 who, as I said, inundating us with Tim McMahon eating crow.
Yeah, he said it wasn't a trade that you should be fist pumping about.
No, that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. He joined us that day.
He
that
did.
The story broke. I think he broke it. And maybe he could join us again. Maybe he could join us.
Yeah, we need to come up with some bank.
I mean, I don't want to. Okay. All right. Well, that's tough to come upon these days.
Yes.
Biggest question around the NBA today, other than the conference finals, might the Suns really let DeAndre Ayton go? What do you got? I would be surprised. I hadn't thought about it, but there's so much news coming out of Phoenix. You know, he wanted an extension last offseason. He had a moment with Coach Monty Williams of frustration on the sideline during Game 7. And under their current ownership, the Suns have broken up a lot of very promising teams. So I guess maybe we should expect that it's highly possible to let the hometown kid move on out. I mean, the only teams with real cap space, Oklahoma City, the Spurs, and the Trailblazers, I can't imagine wanting to leave if you're DeAndre Ayton. But if you want a place where you can go be a bigger part of the offense and a bigger part of the story, maybe, you know, he would actually want to move on. I think that would be crazy, because as disappointing as that was, you got to think, we got to make at least one more run at this, guys, don't you?
Now, you've gone backwards, though, if you really want to be honest, haven't you? You went from the NBA Finals to getting eliminated. I mean, yeah, you won all those games during the regular season. I think Phoenix has to do something big. I really do. I don't think Phoenix can run this thing back.
I'd move off of Chris Paul and build around DeAndre Ayton.
There you go.
Yeah, if I wanted to do something big.
There you go.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. The former number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Phoenix is going to look different when you play them next year.
Yeah.
And he's a restricted free agent, so maybe you see if a team's willing to match the offer that you do. I mean, there's different stuff that you can do with them, but Woj was saying yesterday that he's pretty confident that he's going to get the max deal. DeAndre Ayton is from the Suns, but the quote from Sam Amick, who's an NBA insider as well, he says Ayton did not feel valued by this Phoenix organization. They were not able to come to an agreement on the rookie extension, and this is from basically last offseason.
Yeah.
So now he moves toward restricted free agency this summer, and he's going to have some more options. He's going to get the bag one way or another. It's just a matter of, will Phoenix try to finagle him? You can't just let him walk out scot-free. You got to get something in return for the guy.
Indeed, you do. 469 says, I'm not versed on strategy, but what type of big fits on this team without making us vulnerable to small ball lineups? You know, it's unfortunately like Kleba, the guy that can defend multiple different positions, or you get a big that just totally punishes in the paint, like Embiid, like Jokic, like a healthy Anthony Davis, where you're just like, holy cow, we can't go small because he's going to get 40 points and 20 rebounds and keep dunking on our heads all night. And yeah. I think Ayton could be that kind of guy. I really do if they made him the center point of the offense. If you were listening to the segment yesterday, you heard quite a question from Chiafalo. He'll walk you through some of his other regrettable questions and round out a nice segment for you. We got Bobby Belt coming up at 3:40 right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. Segment here is going to be led by Eric Chiafalo. Okay? And it's brought to you by GetMortgageReady.com and Rubin & Associates. If you're struggling financially, facing foreclosure or repossession, have IRS, credit card, or medical debt, you don't have to face it alone. With one phone call, Mark Rubin can take the weight off your shoulders and get you to live in life again. Call Mark right now, 1-800-LAWYERS. And here he is, the man we call Chief, Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that very much. We're going to make fun of myself here, sink into my unprofessional moments over the last couple of years on the heels of yesterday's Yummy Delights debacle. But before we get into that, boys, I have a couple of things I want to bring. I got a stat of the day for you here momentarily, all right? So just get your bodies ready for that. Sure. But I first want to bring up this story here. Former golf broadcaster Gary McCord.
Yes.
He shared a story on how he used to gamble with Phil Mickelson.
Okay.
From the TV tower. During PGA Tour events.
Wow.
This is in the middle of a tournament on the broadcast. Yeah. Mickelson's getting ready to putt on the green or something, and there is, like, they have these hand signal communication with the caddy in real time. Mickelson betting on himself to make putts and things.
You gotta be freaking kidding
me.
No,
this is no joke right here. This is coming courtesy of the Times of London. Okay, so this is out of actually a new book, and this is just a little bit of excerpts from it. But Gary McCord is the broadcaster. He worked for CBS, and so. Mm-hmm. This is him recalling the story, all right? So he says, when I was in the TV tower, every time Phil got to my hole, Bones, which is the former caddy of Phil
Jim
Mickelson.
McKay.
Okay, Jim McKay?
Yeah.
All right, very good. So I guess his nickname was Bones.
That's a good pull,
He's
though.
He's really skinny,
good
though.
That's
yeah.
a good pull.
And so basically...
Pretty Justin Thomas now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So this guy's in the TV tower. He's doing the broadcast. Phil gets to this dude's hole, and then he has his caddy, Mr. Bones. And he would look up at McCord, the broadcaster, and he says, I would flash the odds. So the caddy's looking up into the TV tower, and the broadcaster, Gary McCord, who's telling the story, would flash the odds to the caddy. Now, this is how we do. He says, if Phil had a 15-footer, I'd flash three fingers, which meant... the odds were 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
If he was 60 feet, I'd give him 2-1 on a 2-putt. Bones would go down and whisper in his ear, and Phil would look up at me and shake his head, yes or no.
I love it.
So if,
I mean, it's super degenerate.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is like legendary degenerate here.
I think we're finding out why it took him so long to win some majors, Brian. He was preoccupied and unfocused out there.
He had a lot going on. Yeah, a lot going on.
No. He was hella focused out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just on the wrong
side. Yeah.
So basically, the writer says, you know, if Mickelson won the bet, which it's safe to assume he did more often than not, he didn't wait until after the round to collect his money. So McCord would toss a wadded up $20 bill from the TV tower when he lost a bet. And so McCord says, quote, I can't tell you how many wadded up 20s I threw out of the tower until the tour found out about it. And I got word through CBS I was no longer allowed to gamble with Phil while up in the tower.
Yeah, I think my spidey senses would go off that might be some sort of an HR violation as we're mid-round.
100%.
100%. 20 bucks is it, though? I don't know if I buy that.
Well, I think he's at like wads of 20s.
Wads of 20s.
So I think you're talking about a little bit more than just, I don't think Phil is going to bother with $20
bets. So
they
probably had a standard bet, and then but the odds then, of course, so it was always a number, and then they figured it out from there. But it doesn't surprise me because Gary McCord, if you know, you kind of know his history. He's one of those guys that was kind of a journeyman player, really wasn't great. I mean, he played a lot better when he got on the senior tour and stuff like that.
Kind of a wild.
But if he's a player, they're always betting.
Oh, yeah. Always betting. Yeah. Those golfers from that era, always betting. You know, I mean, they you don't walk on a golf course without, you know, you play practice rounds. They gamble during practice rounds.
How much cash you think they need to take with them? Probably depends
You probably keep in your bag. You probably have your clip in your bag, you know, and then at the end of the round, you might be, maybe you lose $2,000-$3,000.
Got to unload the clip.
Unload the clip and you know, pay it off. Or you pay it off at dinner that night.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Whose body is ready for today's stat of the day? Everybody's?
100%.
Everybody's, yeah.
All right. So I saw this from Hoop Central, the potential highest paid players in the league next season. If player options are exercised. So as it stands today, here are the guys that are going to be the highest paid players in the NBA. It's going to be Steph 1, James Harden 2, and number 3, John Bleeping Wall.
John Wall.
Oh, John Wall.
Yeah.
So John Wall's about to make a ton of money. Now, the stat of the day is, and I hope you guys didn't see this because I mentioned it on the nosebleed seats a couple of weeks back, but when I saw this, that John Wall's going to be paid third highest in the entire sport next season, I was like, oh, I got to bust this back out. The interesting fact and stat of the day is that our guy, the big German, Dirk Nowitzki, has played in more games than John Wall has dating back to 2017.
No way.
Dirk has played in 128 games dating back to 2017. John Wall only 113 games.
Really a brilliant player robbed of a great career by injury.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely, but he got his bag. He's barely been playing in any game, so much so that Dirk, who's been retired for a few years, has played more than John Wall has.
I'll tell you what, though.
And he's only 31.
But some of the stuff that's going on in Houston is by their choice of not playing him, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't. It wasn't totally all. There's been some injury problems with him, but they basically just told him to stay away, you know, with their team. They were like, no. And now he's coming back like, no, I'm interested in playing again. Want to play. But that, yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with the Rockets had made a determination that he kind of needs to stay away.
Yeah, I think they need to buy him out and let him go somewhere where he can, you know, try to compete. Because I don't think anybody's going to trade for a $47 million contract at this point.
Yeah, I think the Rockets owners had some problems with, because he's a restaurateur guy. I think we've had some money problems with that, by the way. So maybe there's not that so interested in buying somebody out now.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, very
good. Pandemic got that guy a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think many of us can understand that one right there. Okay, so yesterday, unfortunately, I had myself a moment asking a question. Cole Calhoun, Rangers Players Show. It was awesome. We were fired up.
Right here
up
at this time, I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
By the way, minutes. Cole Calhoun with some big hits last night, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
How about that?
So for some reason, I put two words together that I never had in my entire life, and then I got made fun of, rightfully so. And so I want to bring back, I want to go into the archives of just a couple of my really crappy questions and interactions and cringy, awkward moments with guests over the last couple of years. Now, let's hear, Lucius, yesterday's Yummy Delight situation, and then we'll get into crappy questions of years past. Did you get your hands on some good local eating around here, Cole? I mean, I know we got the barbecue, the Whataburger. Have you been pleasantly surprised at some of the yummy delights? Mm. And then the Fantex lit up, and then of course I was made fun of, and now I think Yummy Delights it's here to stay in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I would agree.
Now
we've already determined that.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Harlan got a kick out of it a little bit earlier.
He did.
So I was like, man, you know what? I will just be open and honest here in the new time slot with my new cohorts here. Very excited to be in the G-Bag Nation, but I guess I need to give you guys a little bit of a window into my unprofessionalism, just so that you guys can be fully embraced on what it is that can happen from time to time.
We've heard at least one of them, I think.
You may have heard.
It was G-Bag of the Day.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. So we'll start. I have two really bad ones that I did with Jared, and then we'll get to the other two. But here's one where I'm searching for a word. See if you can guess the word I'm searching for in my brain, and then I just bail out of it completely. But it's after a Rangers game. Getting ready for the nosebleed seats, but we're chatting with Jared about the game, and then I just, I don't know, I just kind of brain fart.
Jared, how about Nate Lowe? I wanted to ask you about Nate Lowe and what he's been able to do early on in his Rangers, his Rangers, you know, joining this team.
That's all. Tenure? Career?
Tenure.
Tenure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the word I was searching for through the tumbleweed in my brain, and it didn't appear, and so I had to bail. So that wasn't bad.
That wasn't a bad bail. It's hilarious, though.
Yeah. It's funny to look back on. Now, this next question to Jared, this is the night before the start of the Major League Baseball pandemic season.
All right.
So it's been, you know, we've had the delay. Yeah. We've been waiting for it. We're finally fired up. Opening day is tomorrow. And so I'm just asking Jared about his excitement, and I just can't seem to, I can't seem to actually say it.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Is this like the night before first day of school vibes for you? Is this like the most or one of the most excited eve of opening day you've ever been?
Sorry.
Is this the day before your first day of school? That's a nightmare, bro.
Right, well, there's that excitement. You're getting the clothes ready. You're laying out. You kind of can't sleep a little bit. I couldn't figure out how to say it.
His reaction was great.
And Jared always lets me know.
He is always so good with that stuff. Yeah.
Gosh, that reaction is so good. Now, this is when Broadus was like, I'm not sure about this Chiafalo character, because Broadus helped us go behind enemy lines versus the Eagles. So we got a Philadelphia guy to come join us, a media member. His name's Elliot Shore Parks.
Yeah.
And so Broadus helped set this up for us. And so it's kind of Broadus's guy. He put his neck out on the line for us. Well, I couldn't help myself, and I had to ask him about the big Nick energy of Nick Foles. I wanted to know if he had first-hand encounter with this thing. He's been in the locker room.
Late night broadcasting.
So this is one that I'm not proud of. Unfortunately, my mom heard this. It was not a good moment for me, but this is my cringy interaction with Elliot Shore Parks.
Did you get a chance to see it firsthand? I know you're in the locker room.
No, I did not.
Is there a reason why? But you heard this, right? Like this was well known pretty much the entire duration he was there, correct?
Struggling, bro.
Once he started winning more and more big games here in Philadelphia, the nickname definitely stuck, and it was, you know, something they would do, you know, it would be a nickname in the locker room. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, did you get a feel for whether it was the most impressive part? Was it the girth or was it actually the tonnage?
Bro.
I have no idea.
He wanted nothing to do with that. Walchuk's looking
Wait
at
a minute.
Me like,
I set that up
right
for
now?
You.
You set that up for me.
Oh, no.
He tried to let you out after
he
the second.
Did. I know. It was not good. I didn't know where to, like, pivot. You can hear the confusion in my voice for about 7 seconds.
I know it might be confusing and borderline traumatic for you, but it's nothing but pure gold from my perspective at this point. Yeah.
Well, again, at my expense, I'm happy I can provide that. Now, the final one, I think you guys have heard this. It had to have been G-Bag of the Day because this is like a real career low moment for me. We had a wounded warrior, BJ Gainham, on the program during Super Bowl week. We're having a good time with him. We asked him the bathroom question that we had been asking everybody, and unfortunately this one had a real epic backfire. Now, I'm curious. This is a you guys are getting caught in the crosshairs on this conversation we've had on our show.
Oh, don't do it.
Over the last couple of weeks. I'm just curious. How do you lose respect for any of any male brethren who tells you in confidence that in the comfort of their own home they will elect to sit to go pee? Now, BJ, we'll start with you. Is that something where it's immediate respect loss?
No, because some of my friends are missing both their legs, so you can't really give them too much crap about that. Sorry about the dog in the background.
Sorry about the dog in the background. That would be rude.
Now, you need to be apologizing.
The dog wanted to attack you is what happened.
My God. And Walchuk is he's trying to be a good teammate. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I that didn't even cross my mind. Like, yeah. I'm not even thinking that could have been the response. Of course it was. And then that was a career low for me. So, very excited to interview more people with you guys moving forward, gentlemen.
Wounded warriors with a sit to pee question.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing radio for over 20 years. I don't think I've ever asked a question that remotely came close to being that much of a brain cramp. Giafalo.
That's a bad one, man.
That is epic. Yeah. Well, thanks for being vulnerable with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Safe space.
That was outstanding. All right. When we come back, Bobby Belt set to join us. And give you some Cowboys insights on their stories of the day next right here in the G-Bag Nation.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider, is set to join you. OTA starting next week at the Ford Center. It's going to be really interesting as, you know, it is going to be open to reporters, and we'll get a first look at what might be different here in 2022. And Bobby Belt joins us now here on The Fan. Good afternoon, sir. How the hell are you?
Gavin, Brian, Lucius, Yummy Delights, how are y'all?
We're outstanding, Beef. How much different is the offense going to be in 2022? Do you have any idea yet?
So I know one of the things that's been discussed, and I think I've brought this up to you guys, one of the things that's been discussed is the idea that CeeDee Lamb could be playing on the outside a lot more than he has the first 2 years, which I don't know that totally excites people, because I think a lot of people feel like CeeDee Lamb is best in the slot. And if he's not going to play in the slot, I don't know who they plan on putting there. If it's Tolbert, Gallup, it may be some sort of a rotation thing. But I know that was one of the things they had discussed in free agency with a few players, was the idea that Lamb was going to be playing a lot more outside, but that they were also committed to kind of bringing back some of the, you know, pre-snap motion stuff. And not just pre-snap motion, but at the snap motion, and getting some of that stuff on there. And some of the fake jet sweeps and things like that. So those are some of the things that I think will look different. It'll obviously look different with Tyler Smith being in there at left guard. And I think the hope is that with a guy like Smith and getting back to getting more power on the interior, that in turn is going to help the run game and make the run game better. And just, you know, continue to help out Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, who obviously had a lot of struggles trying to get things going on the ground in the second half of last year. But a commitment to, I think some different looks in terms of personnel and, you know, the type of groupings that they put out there is going to be something that we may notice. And then I think something they're going to really try to do is not necessarily, and I know Brian doesn't like this term, but not necessarily change the identity completely, but establish a little bit more toughness on offense and a little bit more bully ball.
Hey, Bobby, is this kind of one of those make or break years for CeeDee Lamb, you think? When you start to talk about contracts and stuff?
I do, yeah, because, I mean, when you're talking about the fifth-year option, look, I think that I believe their thought process there inside the building right now when it comes to CeeDee Lamb, when they're looking at him and evaluating him, they believe he's going to be able to take the next step and that he'll be able to step in and be the true number one. But I think if you were to ask people, like, an honest moment away from, you know, the cameras and off the record and just said, is CeeDee Lamb's ceiling now, or his potential, is it as high as you believed it was the day you drafted him? I think unanimously they would tell you no. that they just don't quite think he's the guy that they picked. I think they still think very highly of him and think that he can be a number one in this league, but I think they have been a little disappointed with what they've seen. And you know, that he doesn't have that alpha energy, it feels like, to just go out there and take over a game. We've just seen it very infrequently at this point. And even though I know that was a complaint a lot of people had about Amari Cooper, was that he would disappear, come and go, things like that, there were several moments where he just took over games. And I don't think we've seen that from CD yet. And I think that's what they're waiting on. So it's going to be a big year to see that type of production out of him and that type of ability out of him. And if they don't get it, then, you know, I mean, I don't know that the fifth-year option is necessarily going to be in question, but I think his long-term security here might, and they might say, well, look, let's just, you know, repopulate with the draft, go ahead, exercise that fifth-year option, keep him around, but, like, this isn't the guy that we thought he was. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a big year for him and a big year for everybody on offense. Ezekiel Elliott's future, Dak Prescott, the coaching staff, I mean, across the board, Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy, Joe Philbin, all these guys, there's a ton of pressure on everybody on the offense, I think.
Do you feel like McCarthy's going to be a little bit more involved in the offense, or maybe has he been this offseason, that kind of thing, because there is so much pressure and he's like, all right, I need to get my hands in this thing?
I mean, that's been the discussion, right? Like, that's kind of what Jerry's hinted at. Mike's talked a little bit about that. I will say, I know I brought this up when we were out there at rookie minicamp. He was more actively involved, it looked like, in coaching drills than I've ever seen him before. And was actually out there, it looked like, trying to – he stopped down a drill at one point and was trying to coach something specific, and I've never seen him do that in 2.5 years that he's been here. So, you know, I think whether he wants to be or not, I think the Cowboys want him to be more involved in it. And I think they want to have some more tangible aspects that they can judge him by. It's like, hey, your job's on the line here. Your future's on the line. Let's see what it is you can do. We need you more involved so that we can judge you based off of some of these things. So I think it's absolutely possible he's got more involved. And I still think this is ultimately Kellen Moore's offense. But I think that Mike McCarthy will have a bigger hand in it than he has the first 2 years.
Bobby Belt with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Do we know anything about, I know training camp's still a little bit a ways away, but are they going to do any of those joint practices, other teams, like they did with like the Rams last year?
Yeah, we got that. I know Jory Epstein was the first on that today. Jory Epstein was the first one on it today, that they're going to have practices ahead of the Broncos and Chargers preseason game. So they're going to get in a practice with the Broncos on August 11th, and then on August 18th and 19th, they'll practice with the Chargers. And those are always great because those are always ripe for, you know, a fight with another team. And so, you know, we'll probably get a good sense already about how the energy has changed with this team. And I mean, that's going to be that Broncos practice. Obviously, there might be some tension for some folks with, you know, just practicing against Randy Gregory, you know, and then there might be some tension for Randy Gregory himself there. And so it should be a good little, you know, early storyline, I think, for people out at training camp. But, yeah, it sounds like Chargers and Broncos will be the teams that they practice against.
Bobby, we got Brian's thoughts on the passing of Larry Lacewell earlier. Is there something you'd like to add on what he meant for the team and today for the people in that building to have this loss?
I mean, obviously he was somebody who was before my time covering the team, but I mean, just he's got such a tremendous impact on the organization. I know there are people over there hurting today. I mean, I've already heard from a few guys over there that are, you know, he had a big impact on not just the organization and, you know, the roster and the way they built it, but on the people who are there now doing that. And so, I mean, yeah, this was a tough personal loss for a lot of people in that scouting department, a lot of people who work in personnel and who learned a lot from him and felt the reverberations of that, learned from guys that learned from Larry Lacewell. And so, you know, a tremendous impact, a guy who laid a lot of the foundation for what you see today.
Hired Brian, hired a lot of people.
Yeah.
He was the man over there for a long time.
He did, yeah.
Okay, Mavs Oracle. What are we looking at here tonight? Game one, Mavs Warriors. What does the crystal ball say?
So here's the first thing that I'll say is that if they happen to lose tonight, nobody panic because we've, you know, had two losses to open these last two series and they've won them both. And so, you know, have a little bit of Mavs positivity. We've seen two consecutive series. They win 4 out of 5 games because they lost the first two to the Suns and then they lost one of the Jazz. And so they go on these 4-1 runs. So I am leaning towards a Warriors victory for tonight, but I'm thinking Mavs take game two, and then we come back to Dallas and things get really interesting. I'll say Mavs win game 2, 3, and 4, and they go up 3-1 and ultimately close it in 6.
Love it, Bobby. Have yourself a great afternoon. Enjoy the game tonight, and we will catch up with you tomorrow normal time.
I love you all.
Yeah, Bobby Belt joins you most afternoons, 5:20, right here in the G-Bag Nation. We have Bobby Corella coming up from Mavs.com here in just a few minutes. You know, you've heard of
on-time experts. My bad. I want to jump in there for Bobby.
There you
on-time
go.
Experts.
Yeah, Bobby's brought to you by those on-time experts on the Diamond Factory Hotline. You know, you've heard of Clapback Broadus on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Clapback Mark Cuban?
No, I have not.
You know, Lil Wayne tweeted a week ago that Luka is a hoe. He tweeted that.
Oh, okay.
He was supporting the Suns for whatever reason. He was at the games. Mark Cuban, after they won Game 7, retweeted Lil Wayne's Luka's a hoe tweet and put in, "It's a bleep show, put you front row," and included a picture of Lil Wayne courtside.
Yeah, Lil Wayne lyrics right there.
Yeah, it was a lyric from a Lil Wayne song back in the day.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah. I want to know who let Mark Cuban know those lyrics existed. Yeah, did he notice off the rip? Or did he? Yo, I need a clap back real quick.
No chance he knew that off
somebody.
The
rip. We need a powwow on this one.
Yeah. Okay, Brian's going to ask him if it was his own idea.
I'm going to ask him, yeah.
My bet is some edgy kid from the .com department floated him the idea, emailed it to him.
All right.
Okay, so Lil Wayne responded last night. Also asked Mark if he's going to fire back or if he's, picking at the way out here. Says, "Mark Cuban, don't make me get you smacked, boy. You playing with me?" And then suggested he would do something to Mark involving urine. Lil Wayne actually tweeted that last night. He deleted it moments later.
He's hurt. He's hurt. Mark does not need to clap back at this point.
Yeah.
Lil Wayne is embarrassing himself. He's hurt.
I like that idea.
Now you drag him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool, I think, when like rap superstars are talking trash with you. But I think it kind of went to a place that maybe you wouldn't want to follow up. And I think that's a good point, Lucius. You take that as a dub. I wonder how Lil Wayne became such a big fan of the Suns, though. I mean, that's a lot of sports passion. Oh, Chris, they're buddies. There you go. Okay, one of the smartest Mavs minds in broadcast media, Bobby Corella, joins you, talks about what the Mavericks need to do to get the dub tonight in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.